Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Verse number 10. Krishnam chatat prabhavaj, Krishnam chatat prabhavajasa. Asinam jagat ishvaram. Radhistam bhujayam asa. Maya yopata vigraham. Krishnam chatat prabhavasha. Asinam jagat ishvaram. Radhistam bhujayam asa. Maya yopata vigraham. Krishnam chatat prabhavash jasha. Asinam jagat ishvaram. Radhistam bhujayam asa. Maya yopata vigraham. Krishnam chatat prava.
Asinam jagat ishvaram.
Asinam jagat ishvaram. Ladies, please. Maya yo pata vigraha.
Anyone else? Anyone else on the male side that I missed? Synonyms. Krishnam. Unto Lord Sri Krishna. Cha. Also. Tat. Of him. Bhava. Jasa. Prabhava Jasa. Let's get this pronunciation correct, maybe because I'd like to be corrected. I see J-S-A-H. So is that pronounced Gya, like a G-N-A, like we pronounce Prasagya? I hear it like the S is being completely overlooked. Who knows? No guesses. The scholars speak. Okay? There's no S in yours. Well, that's the problem, because on the... I was wondering, did I learn this pronunciation incorrectly or what? But that's okay. If everyone did what was on the board, that's fine, because now I understand why there was no S, because there's none on the board. Thanks so much. Okay, well, at least we got that part straightened out. Can you tell me where I was at before I interrupted myself? Huh? Okay. Yes, Prabhava Jasa. Go ahead. The knower of the glories. Bhishma. Asinam. Sitting. Jagat Ishvaram. The Lord of the universe. Radhistam. Situated in the heart. Pujayam. Asa. Worshipped. Mayaya, by internal potency. Upata, manifested. Vigraham, a form. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Sri Krishna is situated in everyone's heart. Yet He manifests His transcendental form by His internal potency. This very Lord was sitting before Bhishma Dev, and since Bhishma Dev knew of His glory, he worshipped Him duly. Please repeat. Lord Sri Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, yet He manifests His transcendental form by His internal potency. This very Lord was sitting before Bhishma Dev, and since Bhishma Dev knew of His glories, he worshipped Him duly. Purport. The Lord's omnipotency. Does everybody know what the word omnipotency means? How many don't know it? By the way, when I give a class, I want everybody to know the meaning of these words. Because if you've got lots of words that you don't know the meaning of, then it's just a lot of sound going in your ears. How many do not know the meaning of the word omnipotency? Huh? Come on, get the hands up high. All the rest? Okay. What's the meaning of the word omnipotency? Hmm? Yeah, you're saying the same word. I want a synonym. Omnipotency. Give me a different word which it means. Come on, let's go. Huh? What? Just powerful? Yeah, all powerful. That's the word. Yes, thank you. Okay, so we all get that? The Lord's all-powerfulness, omnipotency, is displayed by His simultaneous presence in every place. He is present always in His eternal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, and still He is present in everyone's heart, and even within every invisible atom. So the Lord is everywhere, outside, inside, every side. Here's where I turn the page. When He manifests His eternal transcendental form in the material world, He does so by His internal potency, His spiritual potency. Okay? Everybody know? Internal potency means spiritual potency. As opposed to what potency? External. What? Material. Yes, as opposed to material potency. They are two opposite potencies operating in two specifically different directions. The external potency, or the material energy, has nothing to do with the Lord's eternal form. All these truths were known to Sri Bhishmadev, who worshipped him accordingly. So before I even go on, how would Bhishmadev worship him when he's lying on a bed of arrows? So the answer is he worshipped him primarily in his mind. It doesn't mean because he's lying down that he can't worship. It's just that he can't do the things that he normally might do with his hands, with his head, and so forth. But worship is basically, it's done with a feeling of reverence, a feeling of looking up to, a feeling of glorification. It's God is up and I'm small. So he was very, very pleased that Krishna had come over along with the five Pandavas and to be there. Of course, Krishna wanted the Pandavas to hear the wonderful speech that Bhishmadev would make. Om Agyana Timirandasya Kaninjir Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmaritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Again, the translation. Translation, Lord Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, yet he manifests his transcendental form by his internal potency. This very Lord was sitting before Bhishmadev, and since Bhishmadev knew of his glories, he worshipped him duly. So Srila Prabhupada makes a point of the fact that that there is a difference between the internal potency and the external potency. And there's also a third potency. So the internal potency is the spiritual power that comes from Krishna and manifests from him through many different glorious devotees. So internal potency means spiritual, not material. And external potency means material. And material can mean generally, as we'll get on into the talk, ignorance. In the material world, no one can do nothing that's matter can do anything of itself. It needs a mover. It needs a shaker. It needs a doer. It's simply dead, so to speak. Dead in the sense that I just mentioned. It's ignorance. Ignorance is to not know. And knowledge is to know, to understand. So we have the internal potency, which is, and the external potency. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight constitute my eight separated material energies. This is Krishna speaking. I believe it's the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Besides these, there is another superior energy of mine, which consists of the living entities who are exploiting the resources of material inferior nature. In other words, living entities are made or consist of, or are constituted of, spiritual energies, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, or the Supreme Consciousness. So from a part of Supreme Consciousness, and the Supreme Consciousness is all spiritual, then I naturally, it follows, am spiritual, as a living entity. But there is another potency. It's not really a potency, but it's called a potency. It's called the marginal potency. How many of us are familiar with this term, marginal potency? Okay, most of us here. So I don't have to go too deeply into it. Marginal in the sense that the living entity, this spiritual entity, has the right to choose under which potency he, she, which is under which potency he wishes to operate or wishes to work or wishes to follow. So the marginal energy means, as I just said, he can choose if he wants to be controlled by or directed by the material energy. Now he can do that. Material energy is ignorance. And when he operates under material energy, everything he does is based upon ignorance. There is nothing intelligent in what he does. First thing, he thinks, I am this material body. That's me. I say, no, that's not you. There's something else. No, this is me. And he insists on it. He persists. He goes on like that. Thinks he's the material body. He goes on to think that whatever is connected to his material body, which he has earned or which he owns, supposedly, is also him. My car, that's me too. My home, that's me too. So if somebody throws a rock through the window of his home, he gets angry, he gets upset. Why? It's because it seems like somebody smacked him. And so he's responding as if he himself was smacked, but in actuality, he's not even touched. The window was touched. The window's not saying anything. The window's not complaining. But he, being identified with the house and the window in the house, becomes upset and disturbed as a result of the rock going through the window. Or if somebody bumps into him, he say, hey, watch where you're walking, or something like that. Or it could be his car. He comes out and it's gone. Somebody stole it. How can I do this? Bunch of thieves. He gets angry, gets upset, gets disturbed. Why? It was never his in the first place. All matter belongs to Krishna. This is the most important principle we have to learn. My body belongs to Krishna. After all, he's the one who made it. He deserves to be called the claimant of it or the owner of it. Body is Krishna's. Krishna gave me the body. He also gave me my job. I got some, earned some money from it. And I bought a car. Though the car actually belongs to Krishna, because unless I got the money, which I got from Krishna, I wouldn't have the car. So, therefore, if we think and reason out this, we'll find out that everything we supposedly own belongs to Krishna. The body belongs to Krishna, the car, the home, the wife, the child, the business, everything that we think is mine, everything is, we think, that's mine. And as a result, that's why people suffer. If they lose something, they feel they've lost a part of their body. But they haven't. The body is still there. I'll never forget, I was working on a job many years ago. It was a big, beautiful Cadillac. It was used for chauffeuring movie stars and so forth. So I happened to just lean against it, you know. So the chauffeur, you know, who was paid to chauffeur the stars around, he saw I was leaning on it. Leaning on a chauffeur's car? He says, hey, why are you leaning on that car? I said, because I'm tired. He says, well, go lie down on the ground if you're tired. I said, okay, but I thought I'd give it a little cleaning. And the car needed to get some dust on it. He says, don't be a joker, you know, like that. It wasn't even his car. He was the chauffeur of the car. He was working for a company that couldn't care less about it, because if it got destroyed, they'd just get insured and get the money for it and buy another one. So it shows you the sense of propriety that people have for things that they never really own. And this is what we can all learn from it. So if we lose something, why worry about it? Just either find it or try to find it. And if you don't find it, just try and get another one. It's as simple as that. The mind should remain pacific, calm, controlled. There's no reason for getting upset unless we identify ourselves with those things. So that is what happens when we operate under, when we live under, when we act under material energy. All we want to do is the following. When a person allows himself to operate or work under the material energy, the main preoccupation of such a person is that he believes he is the Lord of all he surveys. That is his main
aspect of consciousness. So, if somebody threatens his sense of lordship, he gets upset. Because all he, she wants to do is be a lord. Or mistress, whatever you want to call it. I don't want to be prejudiced against the ladies here. So, either wants to be a lord, wants to be mistress, wants to be a director, wants to be a dictator, wants to be a manipulator, wants to be the person who's in charge, a controller. That's lordship. And it's the very opposite of what I will soon begin to describe, which is spiritual energy, which operates in a different, completely different key. But to cover a little more of this is that not only do I want to be a lord, being a lord means I want to be better than you, and better than you, and bigger than you, and higher than you. I want to be top dog, top gun. Nobody should be better than me. And so that's why many people that compete, you know, ball games and politics and different professions, movie acting and music and all these, that compete to feel that if you win, you're a lord. You're the best. You're the biggest. Everybody shouts out your name, applauds you. You're in all the papers. You're on all the TV stations, all the online. So that makes a person feel he's superior to everyone else in that line. Whether it's music, whether it's movies, whether it's accounting, whether it's lawyering, whatever, you get awards, you are the best. And that's what people live for. And then the next year, somebody comes in and a new person becomes the big shot. And the old person now gets relegated to being a little shot. And that feels so terrible, to be little shot, to be little nobody. Now nobody's shouting my praises or honoring my name or glorifying my previous deeds. So, therefore, this is what causes people misery. I feel like a nothing. Yesterday, I felt like a something, from somebody to nobody. People cannot live with this idea of being a nobody. And what do? To shore up their false ego? Because they're feeling flattened, they're feeling crushed, they're feeling pressed. What do? Well, you take some alcohol and you forget it. Or you take some drugs. Like the person I heard, he took PCP and he thought he was Superman. So he took a dive off the 10-story building thinking he'd walk away. Well, he didn't walk away. The ambulance took him away. That's what happens. When you're under these drugs, you can hallucinate and imagine all sorts of things that will make you feel you are something that you're not. This is self-deception. So when there is self-deception, what happens is that only bad can come of it because you're not living in truth. When you live in truth, then only good can come of that because basically we're online with the Supreme Lord, who is the essence of all truth. Okay? So, when I identify myself with this body, all I want to do is use it for that one purpose. And what is that one purpose? Come on, I want to hear it from somebody. What is the purpose I want to use my body for? Hmm? Loud, like that. To feel like a lord. Yeah. To feel that I'm the biggest, the best, and the greatest. And God forbid anybody who should try to say otherwise. This is their mentality. I've seen people just bump into each other kind of casually in a friendly way. But one person, he had a short fuse. He said, "Who are you bumping into?" Like that. He said, "Well, I didn't mean it." "Yes, you did mean it. You got a chip on your shoulder. I can see." And then before you know it, they're into a fight. You can read about these fights that happen in the bar rooms, you know, every Friday and Saturday night. And the guy comes in and he says, "I'll show you who you are." Goes out, opens the trunk, takes out his revolver. Pow, 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 pow. "Now, let me hear you talk now." Of course, he has to do 50 years in prison just to have that little egotistical satisfaction. And so there you are. That's what happens when a person identifies himself with his body, thinks his body is all in all, and when anyone threatens it or tampers with it or touches it, he becomes upset, he's disturbed, shaken, and is miserable. Misery. Sorry. Misery comes from the wrong understanding of who we are and having the wrong attitude as to what we should be doing. Now we come to the internal potency. So if the marginal energy and the marginal, the devotee, as I said, he's marginal, he can choose to either go external or internal, and he chooses to go internal in the spiritual direction. So what does that mean? It means he will serve all those things which are of a spiritual nature, which is of the nature of God. So when a person serves the spiritual nature, for example, this whole temple is spiritual nature. Any work, any service done in this temple is spiritual because it serves the purpose of Krishna. Those who dress the deities, those who sew for the deities, those who cook for the deities, those who wash the floors, those who distribute books, all of these different services that are going on are all spiritual. And Krishna is pleased by these activities, and we know that they are activities which are bona fide, which are listed in the scriptures, and I'll get into that in just a few seconds. And so as a result, these activities which are spiritual have the power to uplift us, to raise us, to elevate our consciousness. And how does that happen? Well, when Krishna sees that we are doing spiritual types of activity, he is pleased. And as a result of the pleasure that he feels, what he does is he expresses through the supersoul form directly into the soul. It's like an injection of love, which translates itself into bliss. Now, if you give a person a little love, then they get a little bliss. The person gets more love, he gets more bliss. It's still more love, he gets more bliss. There are various ecstatic symptoms that one may have in accordance with the amount of love or grace or mercy that Krishna is giving us. And we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita so many different indications of that. Sometimes a person will be stunned. Or he may perspire profusely. Or he may, what they call hieripilate, where the hairs of the body, of the arms go up in the neck. Or his color might change, may get very blanched, very white as a result. Or he may begin to be full of tears flowing down the we see so many. Or he may become choked up, can't speak. We see a very good example of that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Lord Chaitanya is dancing on the parade route and he's in full, tremendous ecstasy and he's trying to say the name of Lord Jagannath but he can't get it out because he's choked up. What did he say? Come on, give me a minute. What? Huh? Yeah, but that's not the way he would say it if he was choked up. Give me a choked up version. He doesn't want to give us a choked up version. Okay. He would say, doesn't come out. Did nobody ever had a choked up experience? What are you hitting him for? You think he knows how to do a choked up version? Okay. So, anyway, that's just another example where a person gets choked up. As I said, there's weeping. A person loses external consciousness. What is it to lose external consciousness? It means you don't see anything externally. You don't hear anything. You don't smell anything. But you're in another realm. You can speak and you can hear and you can smell in that other realm. It's the spiritual realm. So when a person falls down, he looks like he's unconscious. He's unconscious to the external world, but not unconscious to the internal world. The world of Krishna. The pastimes of Krishna. And we see that with Lord Chaitanya. He actually, we get a description of that when he's actually gathering flowers to distribute to Radha and Krishna in nice painting in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, therefore, these are the different symptoms or expressions of transcendental bliss. It's not that we should be striving for transcendental bliss. That is not the goal of this movement. The goal of this movement is to give Krishna as much pleasure as we possibly can, as intense as we can, as in amount as we can. That's our main business. And if Krishna is truly pleased with the pleasure we give him through the service that we perform, then, as I said, he will reciprocate and express to us his love in a little form, medium form, big form, or overwhelming. So different devotees experience different degrees of transcendental bliss. Some, we have descriptions of where they're rolling around on in the dust, on the floor. Why? Because every particle of their body is trembling with joy, with pleasure, with complete satisfaction. They can't keep it. They look like they're having an epileptic fit. In fact, that's what they thought about Lord Chaitanya in the early days. He's got epilepsy. Nobody knew the real situation. So, therefore, these are some of the symptoms which come as a result of our gradual development of love for the Supreme Lord. Krishna says one can know me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So, that's the method. Loving devotional service. But devotional service can be done in different ways. I have seen devotees do devotional service in a mood which is anything but devotional. Yeah. Angry mood. Lord Kapila mentions that, yeah, devotional service can be done in any one of the, under the three modes. Angry mood, hostile mood. We even had in the kitchen, somebody threw a knife and it at somebody. It got by his face. Of course, we had to get rid of him. But people can do that. So it's important that we look at our mind, look at our attitude, look at our feelings, and ask ourselves, is this the way to serve Krishna? Is this the way to express love for Krishna? Is this the way that will give pleasure to Krishna? If we're angry, if we're hostile, if we're envious, if we're condescending, if we're any of these low types of feelings, what will happen is Krishna will not give us the full complement of bliss that we could get if we did have those proper feelings. So, in other words, if we serve Krishna with love, with dedication, with commitment, with loyalty, with our whole force of surrender, with submission, feeling I'm nothing, I'm nobody, whatever Krishna is giving me, I don't deserve. Whatever I'm giving to Krishna, he deserves manyfold over. So when a devotee has this attitude, whatever I'm giving, this is nothing. Look at all you're giving me, food and clothing and shelter, health, strength, guidance, protection, all these things, spirituality, wonderful association, yourself in the form of the deity. You're giving me so, so much. And look at the halcyon days, calm, peaceful, outside, trees. You look at, and you stare at them for a while, you become peaceful just looking at them. Krishna is giving so much that gets by us, which we ignore, which we disregard, which we take for granted. Instead of one saint, I read, he said, what I want to do is all day long and all night just say, thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my Lord. And I will never come to the end. He said, if I go on till the 100th year, 150th year, I will still saying, thank you, my Lord. I haven't finished because I owe you so very much. You are so kind, so sweet, so generous, so loving, so caring. You've given me so much. How can I ever repay you? I can't. So please just accept this with tears in my eyes because I know you deserve more and better. So when a devotee's attitude comes from uncaring, disregardful, thoughtless, just doing it for the sake of doing it, but not doing it for the sake of the pleasure of God, then what happens is that we get in turn from the Lord what we deserve. Sometimes as a result of serving in an offensive way, we may get some punishment. And that punishment can come in any number of ways. You may get into a car accident, or you may get into a fight, or you get a disease. You say, I have great health, and now I can't get rid of this cold. I got it for 6 weeks. It won't go away. You think that's an accident? It's not an accident. Krishna is in charge of everything. Every blade of grass moves by the will of God. And so everything that happens in our life is happening by the will of God. Nothing. There is no such thing as accidents. This is what a devotee understands and lives by. There are no accidents. Whatever I'm getting because Krishna wants me to learn something. And if I'm awake, if I'm aware, if I'm alert, he'll give me just what I have to learn. And once I learn what I learn, generally speaking, no need to get that again because I don't perform those. Aparads, those offenses again. That's it. No more. So therefore, no more punishment. So much of our life is in our hands. But the more we depend on Krishna, the more we will do the things we're supposed to do the way we should do them and to the extent we should do them because we will get the grace of Krishna. So I've gone over. And the most important point I like to leave everyone with is that it is for us to choose. We can choose to be under the external energy. We can choose to be under the internal. We should be asking ourselves throughout the day, am I thinking, feeling, and willing under the external energy? Ignorance? My, I? Mine? Or Krishna, 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 this is for you. This is yours. Everything belongs to you. Let me always serve you forever and ever. Please never abandon me. Always allow me to be your loving servant. And if the devotee has this particular attitude, then he learns from this attitude and he gains from this attitude and ultimately goes back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or any comments, please feel free to make them. Hare Krishna. Wait. I can take that. Thank you.
Thank you.